It's Wisconsin Today. I'm Kate Archer-Kent.
And I'm Rob Ferret. An investigation by ProPublica shows that the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa has a payday loan lending empire.
The tribe is connected to bankruptcy filings of people who took out high-interest predatory loans. Some interest rates exceeded 600%.
Lending companies and financial partnerships with the Lac des Flambeaux tribe showed up as creditors in roughly one out of every 100 bankruptcy cases in a nationwide sampling of those cases by ProPublica. That's led to ongoing legal troubles for the tribe.
Megan Omatz is a reporter at ProPublica covering Wisconsin issues, and she co-reported this investigation into the Lac des Flambeaux tribe's high-interest lending scheme. Megan, welcome to Wisconsin Today.
Good morning. Thank you.
So the tribe's dealings in the high-interest loan industry, they aren't licensed by the state, and so you don't have clear paper trails or transparency into the businesses that they formed. What tipped you off on this story?
Well, originally we were getting some tips from borrowers saying, you know, look, I took out this loan online and I realized after I took it, I was 800%, or else they hadn't realized how much money they were going to have to pay back and didn't realize the connection to an Indian tribe, which really does mean that the state laws may not really won't apply to them. So we got a lot of people saying, you know, how is this legal? And so that piqued our interest into looking at this industry of tribal loans. And we were very surprised to find that the Lac des Flambeaux tribe really is very, very prominent in this industry. And we measured that by exactly what you said at the top of this piece about roughly LDF companies showed up as a creditor in roughly one out of 100 bankruptcy cases we sampled nationwide. So you can see that people around the country are taking out loans that are affiliated with the LDF tribe.
You just said interest rates north of 800%. You know, in the piece, you talk about interest rates exceeding 600% in some cases. How could this be allowed?
Well, tribes have something that is very unique to them, and that they have sovereign immunity. They have sovereign rights. So they they claim that they're not subject to state interest rate caps. And what has happened over the past decade is their sovereign rights has become very lucrative in a way, and that outsiders who are not tribal members and are part of the payday lending industry have found it advantageous to partner with tribes, because then these outsiders can claim those benefits and charge those really extraordinarily high rates.
So in these non-tribal businesses, they come with expertise that you say the Lac des Flambeaux tribe doesn't have in this space of high interest lending.
Yes, exactly. The tribal leaders have told us that when they got into lending, they really didn't have the kind of expertise in this industry. And so they turned to outsiders. But, you know, who came first is not quite clear. But obviously, these partnerships evolved and they're mutually beneficial. We have looked at some of these outside partners, and they seem to do quite a bit of the work, from the underwriting, the selling of the loans, major call centers, debt collection, running software, that kind of thing. And the tribe, it seems to us, again, a lot of this is very opaque, but they have some oversight, writing contracts, maybe a few people in a call center, some auditing. Oh, they have a complaint system, although, you know, it's not very clear on how people utilize it or are able to get their complaints addressed through the tribal system when they're getting the loans from the tribes. Mostly we found our complaints through complaints to federal regulators.
Megan, I thought it was so interesting that it's not Wisconsinites who fall prey to these high interest loans. Why don't Wisconsin residents have the ability to take them out?
Well, this was a very strategic move on the part of LDF and their partners long ago. They realized that to stay on the sort of the right side of regulators, that it would be best if they did not lend to people in Wisconsin, where LDF is based, and that they did not lend, you know, to their own people too. They don't want to charge these kind of rates to their own people. And we talked to a former Wisconsin official who remembers meeting with some of these outside people on the reservation, who basically said, you know, this is what we're doing. We're going to charge these interest rates. And we know, because we're not lending to folks in Wisconsin, that there's really nothing you can do about it. He considered it almost, you know, like a dare. You know, we're doing this and there's nothing you can do about it.
Mm. We are talking about the Lac des Flambeaux Tribe's high interest online payday lending businesses. We have Megan O'Matz with us, ProPublica reporter who covers issues out of Wisconsin. Megan, in 2020, consumers filed a class action lawsuit against the Lac des Flambeaux Tribe, come to a deal that could cancel over $1 billion in debt. Can you tell us about that development?
This is really extraordinary. They're saying this could be the largest class action settlement secured against participants in the tribal lending industry. So it'll affect about 1 million borrowers who could get relief under this deal if it's approved by a judge, as it most likely will be in December. The deal calls for the cancellation of about $1.4 billion in outstanding loans. So these are the loans that people are still paying on, or that they couldn't keep paying on. And now that money will be forgiven. This would apply to folks that took out an LDF loan, I think, through October 2023. It also has about $37 million in cash that people can apply for as well if they had taken out one of these loans. So it's really quite amazing. And we've seen a lot of the action against this kind of lending has come from private consumer attorneys who are chasing the tribes, LDF and others, for some help for consumers.
Megan, how might this litigation then affect the Lac des Flambeaux Tribe?
Well, we have not seen them say that they're going to stop lending, which is really, you know, quite surprising. They have said that of that amount that I just told you about, really the tribe is on the hook for only 2 million of that 37.4 million. So you can see that their outside partners are paying the rest of that. And the lawyers in that particular case have said that they're not done suing the tribal partners who are part of this effort. So, you know, whether the tribe will continue to see outsiders that want to partner with them, or that they now feel that the legal risks are too great, we don't know. Although, you know, the profits here are extraordinary.
Profits are extraordinary. And Megan, you have tried to open up a line of communication with the tribe. What have they told you?
Well, they have insisted that they are providing a service to people who have, you know, poor credit scores. You know, they don't have access to credit often. And so they do say that their terms are disclosed, whether people, you know, are really read them carefully in these contracts. You know, some people don't, as they're clicking through these terms online. The tribe, again, we'll say that they are following tribal law and federal law. Now, there is not a federal interest rate cap except for military borrowers. So that is the tribe's defense, is that this is legal for us. We are able to do this, and we follow tribal and federal law. Now, the tribes also, you know, they do get a portion of these profits, which are used to help fund their community services on tribal lands, whether it's for to help fund their police, healthcare, education, food programs. And, you know, they do have gaming. There's a casino there that the Lac des Flambeaux tribe has. But in other ways, it is difficult for them in a remote area of Wisconsin to find ways to make money. And this is something that they have found profitable.
And I'm wondering if it is, or what those profits are like, because they have these non-native business partners in these ventures. How much control does the tribe have over what it gets in profits and the direction of the lending operations?
Through these lawsuits, we were able to see some of the contracts, and one of them that we found really showed very little money going to the tribe. I think it was about $3.25 per loan and per payment, with a minimum of $10,000 a month, which, you know, clearly isn't that much money. The tribes, you know, will say that they have perhaps renegotiated better terms as the years went on. But even that, when you multiply it over, say, 25 websites that they're running with different outside partners, it can amount for the tribe to millions of dollars a year, whether it's $5 or $8 or $10 million a year. But the outsiders can be making so much more than that. I think we saw one outsider over 5 years with a, working with another tribe was making $83 million in revenue. So, yeah.
Megan, in our final moments together, what are you still trying to answer? What do you need help on?
Well, we're looking a little bit about regulators, and as far as for a time, they were really looking at this industry, the federal regulators, and then they pulled back. And so we'd like to understand a little bit more about how that has evolved, where the enforcement mechanisms are here, especially for the outsiders.
Megan, thank you so much for your reporting. Thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thanks for having me. I appreciate it.
Megan O'Matz, reporter at ProPublica, where she covers issues out of Wisconsin, talking with us about her investigation into the tribal lending industry and the high-interest loan businesses of the Lac des Flambeaux Band of Lake Superior Chippewa.
Join WPR tomorrow at 8 for live coverage of the CBS News vice presidential debate simulcast by NPR. It happens here on WPR News. Governor Tim Walz, the Democratic candidate, U.S. Senator J.D. Vance on the Republican side.
Tune in to WPR News for the live broadcast and analysis of the CBS News vice presidential debate from NPR. It starts at 8 tomorrow evening here on Wisconsin Public Radio and at WPR.org.
Just ahead on Wisconsin Today, the former leader of UW-Superior has a new book on what makes a college president successful in tumultuous times.
The job has gotten a lot harder and less rewarding than it was, for example, when I first became a president a couple of decades ago.
A new generation of college leaders, that's next on WPR News.